Tonight we continue our study of Christian resolutions that are found in the book of Psalms. We've considered a number already. I will trust, I will pray, I will seek. There are going to be 10 altogether, so if you didn't make any New Year's resolutions this year, there will be 10 altogether for this year at least that we can focus on and be praying about. But tonight, we're going to be turning together to Psalm 145. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn together in God's Word to Psalm 145. I'm going to be reading the entire Psalm. This is the living Word of the living God. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He also hears their cries and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forever and ever. Amen. I want to begin tonight by asking the children a question. Boys and girls, if you're here tonight, listen to this question. If I were to walk into a barn or a pet store, and even if I kept my eyes closed, what's one way that I would be able to tell what kind of animals were there? Well, I think one way certainly would be by their sounds. Is that what you were going to say? Haven't we all played that game with little children? What does a cow say? What does a dog say? What does a cat say? But here's another question for you. What does a Christian say? What does a Christian say? Could you or I be identified as followers of Jesus, as the children of God by our speech, by the things that we say. We can learn a lot by listening to a man speak. And you do that every day. When you're at school or when you're out at work or when you're playing sports, you hear people speak all around you. And as you're doing that, what's the world's conversation all about? What do you hear people around you talking about all the time? P.B. Power said, "The speech of the world is full of buying and selling, gossiping and trifling." I wonder how much things have changed since his day. You know, friends, when we think about our speech, our conversation, the Bible traces out a very helpful chain of influence. First, listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 34. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But then also we read Jesus saying in Matthew chapter 6 at verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So do you see the chain? You see the influence that Jesus is laying out for us? Treasure, heart, tongue. Treasure, the thing that you value the most, is going to influence your heart, the core of who you are. And that is going to influence your speech. That's the chain of influence that Jesus lays out for human beings. Treasure, heart, speech. You see, friends, our words, almost more than anything else, our words are the window into our hearts. And our hearts reflect what we value the most. And so a man's conversation will match and reflect that man's mind, his hopes, his interests, his enjoyments, his fears, his comforts. Think about this past week, or maybe even today, and think about the things that have predominated your conversation with others, with your family, with your husband or your wife, or maybe even the conversation that you've been having in your own mind this week, how you've been speaking to yourself over and over, and the things that you've been saying to yourself. Now, of course, I know that there are going to be times that we speak about the things of this world, the ordinary, everyday things of this life in this world. But I think the question is, and it's a question that arises out of Psalm 145, is how much, if ever, do we speak about things unseen? Things that are eternal. Things above and not things below. In other words, how often do we find ourselves in holy conversation? According to the Psalms, the children of God are marked by their desire for and their engagement in spiritual conversation. And so tonight's resolution from the Psalms, from Psalm 145, is I will speak. I will speak. We find it throughout this Psalm. Verse 5, "I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works." Now, several versions, including the ESV that I read, but also the New International Version, the New King James Version here, have meditate. The same Hebrew word can mean both, to meditate and to speak. Now, that right away gives us a clue as to how to promote holy conversation. Those things are related in the biblical mind. But verse 6 clearly says, "Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness." There it is. I will speak. I will declare. In verse 7, They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. That word utter means to flow, to pour forth, to gush forth, to bubble up. It's that kind of ready and willing speech and conversation. Verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Do you see how the conversation, the language is filled with these holy, spiritual, divine topics? Verse 12, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, the glorious majesty of his kingdom. And then in verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. This theme isn't unique to Psalm 145. If you take the time to read through the entire Psalter, you'll see how often this same theme and resolution is repeated. Psalm 71, verse 24, my tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all day long. Verse 119, 27, make me to understand the way of your precepts, so shall I talk of your wondrous works. And we could go on and on and on. I shall speak. The resolution of the child of God. Now, there, of course, are things that are not meant when we pursue this determination, I will speak. What is encouraged here is not mere talk. Not mere talk. We're certainly not interested in being imitators of one of John Bunyan's characters called talkative. Talkative. My children love it when we get to the section of talkative because he just goes on and on and on. And of course, that's not what we mean. We're not to be talkatives. First, there is to be a reality, and that was talkative's issue. Most of all, there is to be a reality behind the speaking, an internal heart reality that matches the external profession, those words that are being spoken. Think of Acts 4:20 and the apostles. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I think the sense is here they've had a personal, real engagement with Jesus Christ. They've embraced him. And flowing out of that, they say, we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. And if you're a child of God, what have you seen? What have you seen of God and his love and mercy in Jesus Christ? What have you heard from the Scripture? Lord's Day after Lord's Day, and every day when you open up this book, you're hearing of the things of God. Well, what did the apostles who had heard and seen say? We cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and we have heard. There's a spiritual internal reality that matches and undergirds the words that are being spoken. And of course, this is not just talking religiously, and neither is it necessarily saying much. This resolution, I will speak, isn't encouraging just babbling on and on. Godly speech is not measured by the number of words that we speak. It's not measured by the mere number of words that we speak. There's no virtue in simply having many words. In fact, you remember what Jesus said in the area of prayer. It's exactly what we are not to do, to heap up words and babble on like so many do in the world. Not simply many words. In fact, in Proverbs 10, verse 19, we're warned, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. There's a right and a godly restraint in speaking involved in this determination, I will speak. And in James, of course, you know that well-known command and injunction, my beloved, let every man be quick to hear and slow to speak. Better a few words that are weighty than many words that are light and fluffy. I remember years ago someone saying to me, it is empty barrels that rattle about and make a lot of noise, but full ones silently crush toes. Empty barrels make a lot of noise. The ones that are full, weighty, have substance, are the ones that make an impact. It's not about being loud. It's not about being loquacious, just talking on and on. It's not what's involved in this this resolution, I will speak. But as we see it encouraged here in the psalm, this speaking about God and the things of God and Christ and His salvation, how can we improve in this area? It's convicting, isn't it, when you read a psalm like this and when we sing it together, how the psalmist is just saying, I'm speaking of this all day long, forever and ever. This is continually on my mouth. And I know it's not continually on my mouth, even as a minister of the gospel. I know that there are days that go by sometimes when very little of the things of God may be on my lips. How can we improve and be helped in this area? How can our speech in public be more godly, more spiritual? Well, I think the secret to our public life is our private life. Someone once said, if we would speak more of God, we must speak more to God. If we would speak more of God, we must speak more to God. Remember that connection in Hebrew between meditation and speaking? It's the same word. Psalm 77, verse 12. I will meditate on all your works and talk of all your deeds. I will meditate on all your works, talk on all your deeds. There's the close connection. It's what we're thinking about. Where our treasure is, our heart is, our minds are, our speech will be. Meditation. And isn't there so much to meditate on and then to speak about? This psalm itself is a veritable encyclopedia of talking points on the glory and the grace and the goodness of God. Verse 1, God's sovereignty as our King. Verses 4 and 6, God's greatness in His mighty acts, His awesome works, His great deeds. Boys and girls, you know that story. The God of creation, the God of the flood, the God of the captivity who brought the Israelites back, the God of the incarnation, the God of the crucifixion and resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God who is building the church. These are mighty acts of God. Verse 8, God's grace and His mercy ought to fill our thinking. Verse 9, His goodness and His compassion. Verse 13, His faithfulness. Verses 15 through 17, God's providence in this world. Even His common grace to all men. He's the God who makes His sun to shine on the just and the unjust. In verse 20, God's protection, His deliverance of all those who love Him and who fear Him. This psalm is filled with things to meditate on and then to translate into things that we speak about to one another. The more such thoughts as these are going through our minds and hearts, the more they'll come out of our mouths as well. And I think also we can really be helped in this area, remembering that the more we practice holy conversation in our homes, the more we'll be inclined to do it in the church and in the world. I think this is the real hothouse, the greenhouse that grows spiritual conversation is the family and at home. And often when I try to speak to men, grown men, about spiritual things, and I find that they just have great difficulty in doing that, almost inevitably, their fathers never engage them in spiritual conversation. And it arises from the home. The more parents we do that with our children, take the time to speak with them about the things of God and about their own souls. Now think of how much time we speak to our children about all sorts of other things. How's it going at school? How'd it go at the football match? How's this? How's that? And yet children can go for years sometimes without even their parents saying, how is it with your soul? Shouldn't we talk to our kids about that? How's your soul? P.B. Powers asked, "What speaking is there in our houses of the glorious honor of the majesty of God? Are there not many professing Christian houses in which God and Christ and all holy things are very seldom spoken about? Are there not many husbands and wives, many brothers and sisters who never exchange a word upon the highest and holiest and noblest of themes?" Spiritual conversation nurtured in the home, then in the church, then in the world. I think we can be helped here, remembering also, beloved, that we worship and love the God who Himself has spoken. When we think of this resolution, "I will speak," we have to remember that we worship and love and serve the God who has spoken. Jesus Christ Himself is called the Logos, the Word of God. God's Word to this world, to His people. Of Jesus it was said in Psalm 22, verse 22, "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will praise you." When Jesus came, He came with the resolution to speak. And He would speak of the righteousness, the holiness, and the salvation and grace and mercy of God that was to be found in Himself. He's the great prophet who came to speak and then to be the fulfillment of the promises which He Himself spoke by living and dying in the place of His people. And the Holy Spirit is the speaking Spirit who carried along holy men of old to produce the Scripture so that they would speak as they were carried along by the Spirit, and who continues to speak through this living Word. Now, sometimes I think the pendulum swings so far away from some of the Pentecostal charismatic circles, and we don't even think that God speaks anymore. He speaks in His Word, by Word and Spirit. That's the way we know that He speaks. We have the much more sure word of prophecy, Peter said, the Scriptures, in which the Spirit speaks. And so, friends, we serve a speaking God. And so we can pray, "Lord, You're the speaking God. Open my lips. Open my heart first, and then open my lips so that I would speak and tell of Your greatness." Psalm 51, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Your praise." We see in verse 21 here in Psalm 145, look at what it says. Sometimes some of the pronouns are in the third person. They will do this. It's people doing it. But look at the way the psalm ends. "My mouth will speak." My mouth will speak. Sometimes I think in the church we get the idea, well, it's the ministers who speak. Or it's some people who are called to speak about this. And I don't have to, but the psalmist here said, "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord." This is not a special gift for a select few in the church. My mouth will speak. It's quite a thing, isn't it, to think of our speech. John Calvin, I'm always impressed by the way he meditates on this ability of humanity. He goes on and on about it. The gift, the wonderful gift of being able to speak. To translate thoughts into words so that they can be communicated to other people. So that as a human being, you can come to another human being and say, "I love you. I care for you. How are you?" That's tremendous. And then to think of what we are able to say, how God has built us with the capability to be able to return praise and worship and honor to Him through our mouths, in speech and then in singing. And Calvin goes on and on and saying, this is such an amazing gift. How can we not use it in the most elevated spiritual, holy way to speak on so many occasions of the things of God. But we know that our speech is often the thing that trips us up the most. It can be the greatest area of conviction for the Christian. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, "But I say to you that for every idle word that men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." I can't remember every word that I said this week. God remembers every word. And every word will come up before His sight. A couple of years ago in Ottawa, at the bus terminal, the main bus yard, OC Transpo it's called, a man entered the garage, an employee, and began to select certain individuals, and then he shot them in cold blood. I think 4 or 5 people died that day. Later, the gunman confessed why he did it. It seems that he himself had a speech impediment, and each of his victims at some point had made fun of him. They had mocked him with their words. They had used their words, boys and girls, cruelly to hurt this man's feelings. Now, the man's response was totally wrong, but I'll never forget that incident as a picture of being judged for the words that they so casually and thoughtlessly spoke. They thought, oh, who cares? I'm just saying these things as if these words just go off. And it was as if judgment came for the words that they had spoken. They thought they were idle and just a joke. But Jesus Himself said, for every idle word we speak. So here's a resolution. I will speak, but what shall I say? What shall I say? Again, P.B. Power noted, "Of this we may be sure, the more our conversation has to do with the glorious honor of the majesty of God, the more it will be free from all that is calculated to debase or to depress the mind. The more will self in all its varied developments be excluded, and the less will there be of those idle words for which we must give account. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." And my redeemer. I love that that verse ends that way. Let the words of my mouth come up before your sight, my Redeemer. Friends, we should never be at a loss for words about God's forgiveness in Christ, even in the area of our speech. "Age shall to age extol thy deeds, and of thy greatness I will tell." Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that indeed You are the God who has spoken, and that You have spoken to us in Jesus Christ, the last word to this world, the perfect, glorious word of the Redeemer, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for the salvation, the forgiveness, the renewing, the hope, the comfort that we find in Him. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to think about these things that we've heard tonight and to see the example of the psalmist here who so readily and willingly desired to speak of the God of his salvation. And Lord, may our lips more and more confess You and offer that sacrifice of praise. Lord, we pray in Christ for Your forgiveness, for those idle words that we've spoken in, and sometimes much more than idle words, words that have been daggers and knives to inflict hurt and pain on others. Lord, help us also to see that the more that we see and understand that our treasure is in heaven with You, the more our hearts will be transformed and the more that will be reflected in the words that we say. Father, I pray that You'd help all of us and help me to speak more and more of Your goodness, Your greatness. Lord, how quick we are to recommend a new restaurant or a dentist or a doctor or an herbal remedy or whatever it is. We're speaking of these things all the time, and yet how slow we are and how reluctant and how apathetic we can be to recommend Jesus to a dying world. Lord, one day when we stand on the verge of eternity, our hearts and minds are overwhelmed with the glory and the beauty of Jesus Christ, we will do nothing else but speak of the things which we see and hear. Lord, may that be true of us more and more. How short this world is, this life, and how long eternity. Lord, help us to think of all of our life and all of our actions and all of our speech in light of eternity. And fill our minds and open our mouths and lips to speak of You. For You are worthy. You are worthy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.